It's 4:06, and you're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Jean Purcell, in for Rob Ferret today.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, we'll talk to an expert from the National Foundation for Credit Counseling about a new study showing that American students have a lower-than-average level of financial literacy.
First, the ability of some fish and eels to generate electricity has captivated human imagination for ages.
Now, a team of researchers from the University of Wisconsin-Madison, in collaboration with other institutions, have managed to trace the genetic and molecular code of the electric organ in eels and other electric fish.
Their research was published recently in the journal Science, and with us is one of the lead researchers, Michael Sussman. He is a professor of biochemistry and the director of the Biotechnology Center at the UW-Madison. Michael, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you very much.
It's good to have you here. I want to talk about sort of the mystery of electric fish, electric eels, because people have known about these things for an awfully long time. What are some of the questions people were asking in the past about how does this happen? How do these animals generate that kind of shock, that kind of power?
Yes. well, it's hundreds of years. In the old days, in the 1800s, when the nature of electricity was first being discovered, they knew the stun was an electric stun. And at parties, people would hold hands, and the last person would hold a fish, and then the number of people that felt the tingle would be related to the size of the eel.
So
they were beginning to understand. And since then, we've learned a lot more about the function of the electric organ, which is actually in navigation and communication. The water in South America is very dark, and the eyesight of these fish is very poor. And much like birds in our forests, these fish are using electric discharges to both get their mates' attention, as well as to see by bouncing off of the surface of the floor of the river, like bats with radar. They're using electricity to help navigate.
So let's talk about the research that you've been involved in, because I got to tell you, when I'm thinking about this, I don't even know exactly where I would start. But you got into some very complex territory here, and I'll just let you tell the story. Where do you start when you're looking at trying to figure this out?
So for 30 years, I've been interested in how proteins transduce energy. They convert chemical energy into either mechanical energy, like our muscles, or chemical energy into electrical energy, but on a very small scale, for example, in our brains. The power there is very small. It's just informational. But there's this unique group of animals, only about 800 species of fish, that have taken a muscle and gotten rid of the contractibility and instead have increased the ability to generate electricity. And I consider these electric fish one of nature's gifts, because if we can learn how to make those special types of cells and organs, we can start in the future engineer organisms that can do it that don't normally do it. It's not impossible to imagine. We are conquering how to convert, for example, embryonic stem cells into heart cells. That is now quite possible, and people are doing it. So perhaps we'll someday, instead of having nickel-cadmium batteries as pacemakers, we'll have a little electric organ. I don't know if that's going to take 10 years or 100 years, but that's the molecular details of what we learned about how the electrocyte functions and develops will be used someday for that purpose.
And tell me a little bit about what you learned in terms of sort of the evolution of all this, because as I understand it, we're not talking about one evolutionary path here. We're talking about, what, five or six?
Right. Yeah, that's what's very interesting, and this has happened several times in nature. This organ independently evolved at least six times. We compared three species in each of three different of those six lineages and asked the question, what common genes are being used to create the electric organ? And we found, out of the 20,000 or so genes in the electric fish, we found about 100 that we think are involved in that process. And very similar, these same 100 seem to be in each of the three times. So evolution has used the same toolkit at least three times and created this very unique organ.
Yeah, that idea of having these independent paths, how significant is that when we're talking about the development of, you know, a function like this?
It's actually, I don't think it's that unusual. I'm not an evolutionary expert.
Sure.
I do want to mention that this group is extremely interdisciplinary. I'm the genomicist. I'm used to thinking about all 30,000 genes and proteins all at once. But many of the other people in the group are more what we call drill-down biologists, ichthyologists. Many of them have been studying electric fish all their careers, either in the wild, asking about how they evolve, or what ecological niche do they provide. And there's others. There's a neurobiologist in the group. There's computational experts, because computationally, it's a very difficult thing to assemble a genome as well as learn how the genes are operating. So none of us alone could have done this. And I'm very honored to have been one of the first to put together this team. We started 10 years ago with a conversation between myself and one of the authors, James Albert. I got just fascinated. I've always been fascinated by the electric eel, but his conversation, he then took me to the Amazon with him on one of his expeditions. He discovers new species of fish. That's what thrills him. I wouldn't know anything about that. I like to grind things up and figure out what the gene sequences are and what those genes are doing. And together we did something any one of us wouldn't have been able to do.
That had to be a thrill.
Yes. I do want to also say my graduate students on this project, especially Lindsay Traeger, who this is a major part of her thesis, she's a co-first author. And one of the wonderful things about being at the University of Wisconsin is that we have the best graduate students in the world, without a doubt. Not only smart as a whip, but very brave, because there was no funding in my lab at the time when she joined, and that was the one she did. I was able to get funding for it, but also she just spent 2 weeks in Peru and studying the electric fish in their environment and under fairly dangerous circumstances. And now she's got all the pieces to make her career out of it. And I'm very proud of what she's done. And I'm also proud of everyone else in the group.
So where does this research go next?
Wow. So this is the first complete sequence for an electric fish. That's Electrophorus electricus. And seriously, we think we have a handle on the handful of transcription of DNA binding proteins that we believe may be able to convert a muscle cell into an electrocyte. And we're going to try some of those experiments. Jamie Thompson is the pioneer of this technology, developed here at the University of Wisconsin, and it's been developed elsewhere. So making an electrocyte in organisms that, like zebrafish, but don't normally have them, is one possibility. We're also going to start studying what we call the proteome and the metabolome. Just like the genome is all the DNA, the proteome is all the proteins, and the metabolome are all the small molecules. And we think this will teach us a lot about how muscles and brains operate. It's so unusual, we think it's going to have some very important insights on how these other organs are operating, because these other organs are big energy transducers. But the uniqueness of the electrocyte and electric organ, I think, has some secrets that we want to reveal.
Wow, a lot more than a parlor trick. Mark, thanks so much for joining us today. We've been talking with Michael Sussman, professor in the Department of Biochemistry and the director of the Biotechnology Center at the UW-Madison.